بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My dear respected ulama, my brothers and sisters, I am going to be very brief. First point I want to make for you is this, that with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, there are three critical things that we need to do. Every Muslim must satisfy these three critical conditions. Number one is to believe in him. To believe that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the Nabi of Allah, was the Rasul of Allah, and was the final Rasul after whom there is nobody. To believe in him. Number two is to believe him. Is to believe him. Meaning that whatever he told us, whether we so-called understand it or not, is haqq. There's no conditional belief in that. We believe in him and we believe him. And the third one is to follow him, which is two parts, itaat wa ittiba. Itaat is to obey his hukum. Itaat is dependent on the order. There has to be a hukum for you to do itaat. To obey, then there is the necessity for an order. So when there is an order, we obey. With Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must do this. Ittiba is a sign of love. Because ittiba is emulation. Ittiba is imitation. There is no hukum that is required for ittiba. There's no hukum required for ittiba. So three conditions. If any one of these three conditions or more than one of these three conditions is missing, then the person is not a Muslim. If a person does not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not a Muslim. If a person says, I believe in him, but I don't believe what he says. Some I believe, some I don't believe. Then there's a big problem. And the third one is, he says, I believe in him, and I believe what he said, but I will not follow him. I will not do his ittiba. Then there is also a big problem. The reason I'm saying this to you is because a day will come when we will be lying in our graves and the malaika will come and they will ask the questions. And the question they will ask about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, they will say, what do you say about the man who was sent among you? And what will we say? What are we supposed to say? That I believe in him. That I followed him. And the malaika will look at our faces, at the smooth cheeks, where every morning we stand up in front of the mirror. Our day begins with removing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from our faces. Please think about it. The day begins with removing the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from our faces. A day will come when we will be alone. And we will say, I used to follow him, and the malaika will say, no, doesn't look like that. Because this beard is not about facial hair. I don't have a hairdressing saloon for the reason I'm telling you this. This is about itaat wa ittiba, both. He gave this hukum, and this was his way. The reason I'm beginning with this, and this is an uncomfortable topic, and this is my style, whoever knows me, I love making you uncomfortable. The reason I'm saying this is because this has become the tarz of this ummah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our tarz is, our tradition, our way is, that there is a difference between what we say and what we do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Kabura maqtan indallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you who believe, do you say something that you don't do? And this is a big problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recite Quran, and the Quran is giving a hukum, but in our life, we go against the hukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the kalam of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited interest-based dealings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited interest-based dealings. Not only did he prohibit them, he said, if you do not leave this, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَّ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, then take a declaration of war from Allah and His Rasul. We read this ayah. We read this ayah with perfect tajweed. We read this ayah in Warsh and in Hafs and in this riwayah and that riwayah. And all the while we have a shop in which we have a business which is running on interest-based dealings. We're living in a house on which we are paying an interest-based mortgage. And like Mufti Sahib said, our excuse is, this is America, sir. My brothers and sisters, remember, a day will come when we have to answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a mi'ar. He gave us a criterion of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think about this. When we are talking about reading and teaching the Quran and making hifz of the Quran and tajweed of the Quran and qira'at of the Quran, what is our focus on all of these things? But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He tell us to focus on, and how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach the Quran? We have the famous story which all of you have heard, and the number of years is different. Narratives in Musnad Imam Ahmad and in the Muwatta Imam Malik and other places of the number of years that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu took to memorize not the whole Quran but simply Suratul Baqarah, which is 2.5 juz. And the period differs. Somebody said 4 years, somebody said 2 years, somebody said 8 years. So this is a special student of Rasulullah sallallahu, about whom our mother Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said that among all the Sahaba, the one who followed the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam the most was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anha. So very special student of Nabi sallam, Sahibul Kalam. Arabic was his language. His father is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He takes 4 years, 8 years to memorize only one surah, 2.5 juz. In our, I don't know about this madrasa here, may Allah bless all of you. This is one of the best news that I have ever heard. The starting of this madrasa here. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you and protect you and enable you to produce true huffaz of the Quran, who for whom the Quran is in their hearts, not only on the tongue. In our systems, in my country and most other countries, a child is supposed to make hifz of the entire Quran in 2 years. If he takes 3 years, we say he's a bit slow. And if he doesn't complete in 3 years, then we generally send him home. He says he can't do it. But here is the Sahabi of Prophet ﷺ, and not just any Sahabi, very special Sahabi. So they asked him. At the end of that period, whatever the period was, as I said, that is not so important. The fact is it was several years. At the end of that period, to celebrate, he gave a walima, he gave a party. He slaughtered a camel. So they asked him, they said, why did you take so long? And his answer is the manhaj of how Rasulullah ﷺ taught the Quran. He said, we used to go to the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and we would take 10 ayat from him. Then we would memorize those 10 ayat. We would reflect on them. If we had any doubts, we would clarify them. We would ask for explanations, all of that. And if there were any ahkam, if there were any orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in those ayat, we would follow them. And when we were satisfied with that, then we would go and ask for the next step. Now this was not only Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, this was the way of the Sahaba. So where is the focus? Is the focus on the tune of recitation? Is the focus on the makharij and so on and so on? All of which is important, obviously. There is nothing nice about reciting the Quran badly. Somebody says he recites the Quran with tajweed. Now, what other way is there? Is there some other way? So the point is that these are the boundary conditions. You don't have to talk about that. But what is the focus of the Sahaba? Is to live by the Quran. So when I read a passage of the Quran, when I read a surah, when I read an ayah, when I read a few ayat, then this must come into my life. This must come into my life. And because they did that, their lives changed. Completely transformed. Because the mind changed. Rasulullah ﷺ, when he came, and you say, tell me one thing that he changed, or the most important thing that he changed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would say the most important thing that he changed, the one thing that he changed, the fundamental thing that he changed, was in the mind. He changed the focus of the people. From the dunya to the dunya wal akhirah. Not from the dunya to akhirah. From the dunya to the dunya wal akhirah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not tell us to leave the dunya. He told us to use the dunya to build the akhirah.
Right. So,
he told us to use the dunya to build the akhirah. He didn't say leave the dunya. Use the dunya to build the akhirah. And that is why one of the ulama of the time who pretended to be a fool was a man called Behlul. Now, Urdu ka naam tha Behlul Dana hum kehte. Dana is very intelligent. So Behlul was in the time of Harun Rashid, the Abbasi Khalifa Harun Rashid. So, one day Harun Rashid, used to kind of joke and so on, played the role of kind of court jester sort of thing. So, Harun Rashid one day said to Behlul, he said, you are the biggest fool in my kingdom. He said, yes, you are right. So, Harun Rashid gave him a stick. He said, take this stick, and if you find a fool bigger than you, give it to him. So, he took it, and he went away. Some years passed, and Behlul heard that Harun Rashid was very ill, he was dying. So he came to see him, and he asked him, he said, how are you? And so on. He said, no, I'm not in a good state. And he said to him, he said, Behlul, I am very afraid. I'm very worried. I'm very afraid. So Behlul said, why? He said, because I'm going. I think I'm leaving. I'm going. So Behlul said, so when are you coming back?
For how long is the trip?
Haruchi said, Balun, you don't understand, you're a fool. I'm going, there's no trip.
I'm not coming back. So is it? You're going, you're not coming back.
So Balun said, then, where you are going must be a beautiful place, and you must have your palace there, and you must have your armies there, and you must have all your court there. Haruchi said, Balun, what are you talking about? Which court, which army, which palace?
There is nothing.
That's why I'm afraid.
So Balun said, Your Majesty, then here is the stick. You told me to give it to the man who's a bigger fool than me. You deserve it. Take the stick. The Sahaba understood this. And that is why I will close with one story. The story is that one day Rasulullah ﷺ was in the masjid and a little orphan came to him and he was crying. So Rasulullah ﷺ, we know his rahmah in any case, but with orphans even more. So when this orphan came and he was crying, Nabi ﷺ asked him, what happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a problem. And my problem is that my father left me a small date garden and I want to put a wall around it, but there's a date palm tree there which is in the way of that wall. And my neighbor, who was Abu Lubaba, he was not one of the Murafiqeen or anything, he was actually a companion of Rasulullah on one of the ghazwat. He shared a mount with him. So he says, Abu Lubaba, he's not allowing me to build the wall. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what did he say? He said, I asked him, I said, this tree is here in the way. Can I go around the tree? He said, no. So he said, then I asked him, can you sell me the tree or give me the tree? So then I will cut the tree and I put the wall. He said, no. I won't give it to you. He said, can you sell it to me? He said, no, I won't sell it. So he said, now I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't worry. He said, call Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba came, radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah said to him, Ya Balu Baba, this is a small boy, he's a yatim, he's got nobody there. Help him, give him the tree. He said, no, Rasulullah, hey, this is my tree. So he said to him, Nabi Sallallahu said, give it to him. He said, no. So he said, then sell it to him, some price. He said, I won't sell it to him, my tree. My wish. So Rasulullah said to him, Ya Wala Baba, sell me the tree. And I will give you a price. And the price I will give you for this tree is a tree in Jannah. I'll give you a date tree in Jannah. Now think about that. Date tree in Jannah does not mean that Abu Baba is sitting in the hellfire and he's saying, you know what, I got a tree there in the other place. No. Date tree in Jannah is Bashara for Jannah. Now may Allah protect us from ourselves. Even good people, something happens. And Abu Lubaba said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want the tree, I will not sell. And he left. Now there was another Sahabi who was sitting there. And his name was Abu Dahda Al Ansari. Not Abu Darda, Abu Dahda. Abu Dahda was witness to this whole story. He saw this whole thing happening. So as soon as Abu Lubaba left, Abu Dahda went to Mr. Salam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what if I get this tree for you? Will you give me the same thing? Then this tree in Jannah. I'm talking about the switch that Rasulullah made in the hearts and minds of the Sahaba of changing from the dunya, not from dunya to akhirah, but from dunya to dunya wal akhirah. Use the dunya to gain the akhirah. So he said, will you give me the hijab? He said, yes, same tree, same deal. Get that tree and you get a tree in Jannah.
Abu Darda al-Ansari went behind Abu Dhuhaba. He found him. By the time he had gone into the market, he found him in the market. He said to him, he stopped him. And he said to him, I heard this whole thing. Sell me the trick. So Abu Dhuhaba said, I did not sell the tree to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why will I sell it to you? So Abu Darda said, no, hold on a second. You know me. He said, of course I know you. He said, what do you know about me? Abu Dhuhaba said, I know about you what everyone knows about you, that you have a date palm garden which is the most valuable piece of real estate in Medina. It has 650 bearing date trees. It has a well of sweet water. It has a wall all around it. And your house is in that where you live. He said, yes. That's correct. So he said, so what? He said, I'm giving you a deal. And my deal is, sell me that one tree in exchange for my whole garden, all those trees, house, well, the works. Sell me that one tree. I give you this entire thing as the price of that one tree. Abu Dhuhaba said, you're crazy or what? What kind of thing is this? You're joking? He said, no, I'm not joking. I'm serious. I'm giving you a deal. And now imagine this conversation is happening in the middle of the market. The whole bunch of people surrounded. They're watching to see what's going to happen here. So Abu Dhuhaba said, you are sure about this? He said, I'm sure about this. You won't backtrack and you will say, no, I didn't mean this. No, it's nothing. He said, all these people are witnesses. They all witness. He said, okay, done. The tree is yours. The deal is done. So Abu Darda radiallahu anhu then goes to his house, which he just sold. Now think about this. This is not just one person. He goes there, he stands outside. He doesn't even go inside. He stands outside and he calls his wife. He says, Ya Abu Darda. So she comes out of the house. He says, bring the kids, bring the children, bring our stuff. We are going. He says, where? He said, I just sold this garden. He said, to whom? She said, to whom? He said, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, for how much? He said, for one tree in Jannah. What do you think she said? What do you think she said? I'm not doing any drama here. If I was doing a drama, I could tell you all the different things she could have said. She didn't say that. She said, Alhamdulillah, what a bargain. She said, Alhamdulillah, what a bargain. 650. The man just sold the roof from the top of her head. He just converted her from being a setani in our language. Owner of this fantastic piece of real estate, she's got her house and everything else, to a homeless person. One stroke. And what she say? She says, Alhamdulillah, what a bargain. They went. As they were coming out, one of the small kids, he picks up a date to eat it. He's in a date garden, what's he going to eat? The mother puts her fingers in his mouth, takes the date out and throws it and says, this is not how we sold it, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't eat it. They go to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, I got the tree for you. This boy can go plant the tree, do what you want. That kid has a big smile on his face now, that yatim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has a smile on his face. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. At the end of the day, we are all humans, right? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I have that tree, no? In Jannah. You promised me the tree. I have the tree. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, Ya Abu Darda, I promised you one tree. I promised you one tree. But your Rabb showed me your Jannah. And your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu has filled the Jannah with trees. Allah has filled it with trees. He said, I promised you one tree. Your Rabb has filled it with trees.
Same Rabb, same Nabi, same Kitab. What has changed? What has changed? Why do we believe that we have to earn haram to feed our family?
Yeah.
Why do we believe that the Sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salam is not important enough to keep it? I said in my khutbah today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put by the words, the Sahaba used to follow the Sunnah because it was Sunnah. Today we leave the Sunnah because it is Sunnah. You go to the Mufti and you say, Hazrat, your farz hai ya Sunnah hai? Somebody came to Sayyidina Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi in Madina in the matter, and when Sayyidina Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, Sunnah hai? He said, yeah, Sunnati hai na. He said, oh, this is only a Sunnah. But Sayyidina Ahmad Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, Tumhari baat sahi hai, magar tumhara lehja kufr hai. He said, what you have said is correct, but your lahja, your tone is kufr. You take the Sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salam and you trash it. Sunnah ti chai. The Sahaba used to follow because it is Sunnah. We leave it because it is Sunnah. Isiliye baat uthate hai, kuch nahi hota. We raise our hand, nothing happens. The Sahaba raised their hands and the heavens opened. And Allah sent the Junod. He sent the armies. The Sahaba raised their hands and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the horses run and cross the gulf. And the horses ran on the water. And the Sahaba said the water didn't come above the hoof. Same Allah. Same Qudrat of Allah. Same Nabi alayhi salam. What has changed? Brothers and sisters, I fear the day. I fear the day when Allah will ask this question. And say, what changed? When we will stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know the hadith. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will be on my house. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will receive the Jame Kausar from his pressed hand. He said, I will be on my house and I will see my ummatis, my people coming towards me, and I will recognize them by the shining faces and the shining hands and feet, which is the signs of wudu. So he's talking about people who pray. He's talking about people who go to the masjid. He said, but the malaika will come in between and they will drive them away, and I will say, why are you driving them away? They are my people. They say, no, Ya Rasulullah, they are not your people. You don't know what they did with your deen after you left. I ask Allah not to make us among those who will be driven away from the house of Rasulullah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this masjid, to bless this effort of deen that is happening here, to bless this madrasa. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless my very, very dear friend and my ustad, Hadbarana Awar, Farooq Dar, down by Kapu. He knows I'm not exaggerating or being polite. He is my ustad. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us all to put the love of Muhammad in our hearts. And the love of Muhammad in the heart is not singing nasheed, it is to follow his sunnah.
Nasheed to tota bhi gaata hai bhai. Tote ko sika, wo bhi gaega.
Sunnat ki itteba pehle karo, phir nasheed padho.
Follow the sunnah. The hope of the Nabi has to be visible in our appearance, in our action, in our speech, in our dealings, in our muamilat, in our muashara, in our akhlaq. This is the hope of the Nabi.
Ask Allah to fill our hearts with the hope of Rasulullah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with this khashya, with his kibriyai, with his jalal, with his jamal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet him to meet us with his rahma, with his maghfirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the shade of his throne on the day when there will be no shade except his shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the water of the house of Kawthar by the blessed hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to cross the sirat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to enter us into Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala bi ghairi hisab with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally to give us the greatest of his ni'mat, which is his own didar, to see him as he wishes to be seen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.